Hello, everybody. Welcome to week three of the E5 podcast. We're shorthanded this week. We only got three guys, so Edmund's moving over to first base. Joining me on today's show is Richard Lee Sam, at our Lee Sam, who is beaming over the Leafs beating the Sens tonight.
Yes, yes. It's a good day today.
And then I also have Tristan with us tonight, Shift Eve. And Tristan, how did the Seahawks do?
They won. Raptors won. Leafs won. Trifecta. Let's do this. Oh, that's and three guys on the podcast tonight.
Wow. Whew.
Destiny. Respect.
That is merely a coincidence, Tristan.
Like, respect, but like the E is a three.
Well, I'm pretty depressed, so.
Oh, right, your Senators.
And on that note, this week we're going to be talking about the MLB going to Japan to play Samurai Japan, which is a very stereotypical name for a baseball team. But anyways, we also have, last week we talked about infield targets for the Blue Jays in free agency. This week we'll talk about outfielders. And last but not least, in honor of Movember, for Mitch and A or Mitch Yeh, we'll be talking about some baseball beards and whether we give them the thumbs up or thumbs down. So we'll start out in Japan, where we saw a picture tweeted out from Eric Kras today, former Blue Jays catcher, saying he's not in Kansas anymore. So that was
a good one.
He's not in Kansas anymore.
That's right, Tristan. He is in Japan.
So he's you already know that they're not sending the best team that they could when you have Eric Kratz, Randy Choate, Jerry Blevins.
I think
hashtag Choate hate.
I'm also taking Puig. They're taking Altuve. They're taking Cano. They're taking Longoria. They're taking Morneau. So, I mean, it's a pretty good team, but not the best team that they could take, right?
Well, I think the most important person they're taking is John Farrell.
Yeah, that's probably his dream job, right? You know, like, who wouldn't want to go to Japan?
I mean, what else is there for his dream job?
But,
Japan's kind of like Boston. There's lots of fresh seafood.
Yeah, that's true.
Some chowder.
That's true. But a shout out to DeMarlo Hale, who will be going as well.
Yeah.
Our bench coach, Mr. Hale.
Sorry, so how many outfielders are going?
Dexter Fowler and Yasiel Puig. That's all that's listed on.
So, yeah, but then they're taking outfielders. But they're taking a Carter, Duda, and Zobrist.
Yeah, so five guys who can go back and forth. But they have a lot of infielders.
Yeah,
that's true.
And John Farrell will have some fun managing the bullpen, which includes Matt Shoemaker, Jose Veras, Hisashi Iwakuma,
Tommy Hunter.
Oh, Tommy Hunter.
Mark Melanson.
Chris Capuano.
Randy Choate will be in the bullpen, right?
Yeah. I have a feeling that people will either love this or hate this, right? When the World Baseball Classic happened last year, you know, like, other people were tweeting how, like, they love, you know, like, extra baseball, or they hate it because it wasn't competitive, which is weird because how can you not love watching baseball, right? Like it still beat spring training, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I miss baseball, and baseball in November in 3 hours of the morning sounds great to me.
I think the World Baseball Classic kind of attracts a wider audience because you're actually having countries,
yeah,
right? It's Canada, it's got USA, it's the Dominican, it's, yeah, so there's lots of there's lots of rooting interest for you as a fan. Yeah. However,
I'm kind of confused as to why this is even a thing.
They did it in the 80s. They did it up until like 2006. So it's just a way to, I don't know, market Japanese baseball, I guess. They used to face an all-star team, but now it's just Team Japan they're facing. So, I mean, like, it'll be fun. Just
like, yes. Are people asking for this? Like, have they been wanting to bring it back? I mean,
I don't know. Like people weren't really talking about it much until like 2 weeks ago. So
it'll be interesting. Like, I have somebody ask me, like, oh, like, why is it called the World Series when there's only really two countries involved? But I mean, I guess this isn't the best players in the entire world. But
so, like, this is a World Series then.
Yeah, this is a World Series. This is an international series.
Well, like, it'd be cool to see this, right? But you can't really, I mean, you can't really do what, you can't really do, like, in baseball what they do with a soccer. Like, you can't really have a Champions League for baseball because pitchers are so, like, if a pitcher gets hurt in one of those things, or and like even so, like you have to watch, you know, the amount of pitches that someone throws, right? So you can't really just go and play like all these extra games. So like it'll be fun to see something, you know, outside of the MLB for once.
Yeah, that's what I'm reading here. It's the like Sal Perez played the most starts for a catcher in the league this year.
I think Guthrie's going
all time in a long time, and I think he's going to play some more baseball. So,
Jeremy Guthrie's going. He pitched a ton this season. He pitched 202 regular season innings, and I don't know how much he pitched in the playoffs, but.
So the series gets going on Wednesday at the Kyosa Red Dome and finishes on November 20th.
What time are the games?
Oh, I have no idea. They're going
to 4 a.m.
So yeah, I will not be watching.
That makes no sense.
But then, they're showing like a replay at 9 p.m.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, like if the games are being played in Japan, like a huge baseball hotbed, they're probably going to be in prime time, right? So I mean, that's just unlucky for us, but I don't know, definitely for sure, watching it because you know I'm weird like that and I love baseball, so I'm gonna be up at 4 a.m. watching baseball before class.
Yeah, see, I will not be doing that because I can barely get up at 6:45. I don't know how I'm gonna be able to get up at 4.
All on board with Roman right now.
Yeah,
but I mean, if it's from that point of view where it's more for the Japanese audience, then sure, it makes sense. But for the North American audience, I don't think it makes.
Yeah, but I mean, it'll be like on MLB TV, I think, or whatever.
So aside from the actual spectacle, it's employing pitch limits, which I'm assuming is the same thing as the 12-second rule they had in the Arizona Fall League, as well as international tiebreak rules that are used also in the World Baseball Classic. So it says that every single extra inning will begin with runners on first and second.
Oh, that sounds just terrible.
That's crazy.
That's just insane.
That's like college football rules.
John Farrell is if that happens, John Farrell is gonna have a ball just sack bunt, extra inning, first pitch, sack bunt.
So
Ned Yost over there.
Yeah.
Jesus, maybe this is John Farrell's dream job.
So like in college football, right? When a game goes to OT, both teams start at the 25-yard line, and they basically just take turns at trying to score. So like if one team scores a touchdown, then the second team has to do the exact same thing, and that kind
or better.
Of like, yeah, it just seems kind of it seems like a gimmick, right? Like, I mean, that's worse than
Well, I was gonna say, is it not essentially a baseball shootout? Yeah, like, I think the only thing closer would be a home run derby to decide the game.
Also, how do you determine the guys on first and second? It has to be guys in the lineup. You have to take two guys bench for that to happen.
Yeah. Because like I would just put like my two fastest guys up there and just
exactly.
Yeah, putting Dyson and Gore on base. We just bring them along just for extras.
But if like I'm just pulling random names here, say you have Emilio Bonifacio and Rajay Davis.
Oh yeah.
Who are hitting second and third to hit second and third the next inning. Can you throw them in if they're scheduled to hit fifth and sixth, can you throw them in there? Like
can they steal? Because like if you have to start with like a guy on second and if they're doing it by the way the lineup falls and one team has like a fast guy on second and he steals third and the second team has like Juan Francisco playing it while starting at second, you know, that's a huge disadvantage, right?
So anyway, just wanted to touch on that quickly because it was a pretty slow week in baseball news. So like I said off the top, last week we touched on potential infield targets for the Blue Jays. So this week we'll head out to the outfield where basically you have two of your three spots up for grabs. You know Jose Bautista's your right fielder. Colby Rasmus isn't coming back. Melky Cabrera is 99.9% not coming back. So
I wouldn't put it that high, but I don't think he's coming back.
I really don't see it happening.
Yeah.
I don't think teams are going to be too scared with the draft pick attached to him.
I don't think it's that. I think it's, his previous steroid past. And like, although I think it's not fair, I think that'll affect his contract. Because if he wasn't linked to steroids but still signed a two-year, like that tiny two-year deal, he would get paid this offseason, right? Like, I'd say 6-7 years, right? But I think because of that, he's only going to sign a 4-5 year deal.
Yeah. So the Blue Jays 5-year contract limit, I don't think he's going to play a factor in them not being.
Is that still in effect? Alex Anthopoulos has still.
But I think with Melky, they only offered him 1 year, and that's what's.
They offered him the 1 year for the qualifying.
Qualifying is automatically 1 year. There's no wrinkle.
So then why is this? I mean, why won't they give him like 3-4 years? Unless if, you know, they have an idea that he's. I don't think he's going to get more than 5 years. I don't think there's any way that a team.
But you have to remember, like, we have no idea what they've offered him.
Yeah.
Like, they could have offered him the full 5 years at, I don't know, 13.5. And he'd go, no, I want 5 years or whatever more at 14.
Yeah.
Like, we're not inside the boardroom. We don't know.
Okay, so we're going to say that those two guys aren't coming back, and maybe Rogers gives Alex some money to work with this offseason, and he won't be relying on Anthony Ghost, Kevin Pillar, and Donaldson Pompey, and Andy Dierks. So we have a short little list here of potential candidates.
And I know we went over this last year, but would you put Dalton ahead of Ghost in the depth chart?
Yes, probably.
Based on what I've seen from him in Fall League, I think that he could, you know, pass Ghost come spring training, because, you know, his contact rate is really good, and he has like solid contact, and he can run, he can field. I'm not sure how well that arm is, but I think he's better than Ghost right now.
Yeah, however, I still think that they would give Ghost the benefit of the doubt in a spring training race, and maybe give Pompey a couple months down in Buffalo to refine his game a little bit.
I mean, yeah, but the thing about a Ghost is, you know, you would always, like, he always looked lost. He always looked lost at the plate, right? And the fact that people were talking about him always bunting shows how bad he is, right?
And he can't even bunt.
Yeah, and he didn't steal that much this year, did he? Like,
well, he wasn't on base as much.
Yeah.
So, Lynn, you have that question. Do you think Ghost has plateaued almost?
I wouldn't say he's plateaued, but I don't think he's, you know. I mean, he could very well, you know, turn into what D. Gordon was this year, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I wouldn't
hold him. Hamilton.
Yeah, it's like Ghost is a weird. I really don't have trust in. Well, I really don't believe in Ghost anymore. I would rather see Pompey start over him.
Yeah, this could very well be Anthony Ghost's last shot to make it with the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Right, you got Dalton Pompey coming up. Also, this is his last year where he is eligible. Well, not his last year eligible to be optioned, but he only has one more year where he can be optioned. So if he gets sent down to Buffalo at any point, then next year he's going to have to go on the waiver wire.
Mm-hmm.
So
then what happens with Kevin Pillar then?
Kevin Pillar, he still has two more years of
being
able to be shuttled. I think he'll be the fourth outfielder for a while.
I mean, he hits right-handers or left-handers. Sorry, he hits left-handers pretty adequately. However,
very adequately, yeah.
John Mayberry does it better than he does.
Yeah.
However, Kevin Pillar is still going to have a spot on the roster this year.
Yeah, and he's a very adequate baseball player. I mean, like,
yeah, adequate.
I mean, I'd be happy with him as a fourth.
His defense isn't bad either.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's not pretty bad. Good.
Yeah.
He's slightly above replacement level. I wouldn't trust him, you know, as your everyday left fielder, but.
Would you go? Pillar is greater than Ghost right now?
What's that?
Would you say that Pillar is better than Ghost right now?
I wouldn't go that far. Ghost is better. I think Ghost is better defensively. Kevin Pillar is still a solid defender, but Ghost is better defensively. If you were to have a Ghost-Pillar platoon, I mean, it's not ideal, but it's not the worst thing in the world. Having them both as everyday outfielders, then there's some issues with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get into these.
We'll get into the actual free agents. So first up on our list is Nelson Cruz. That's a bit of a pipe dream, but
I wish.
I mean, like, if we're not getting Melky, I don't think we're getting
Nelson
Cruz,
40 home runs, 180 RBIs.
Ooh, RBIs, Roman. Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
Fancy stats.
137 WRC plus. There we go.
There we go.
And his OPS is. Looks like it's 858.
What do you guys see Nelson Cruz getting? Because he really mashed us this entire year.
17.
Yeah, I see him making a little bit more than Melky.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you can't sign Melky, what's the point of hoping for Cruz?
Well, you never know. We just threw him on the list. Now, in more realistic possibilities, you saw this name. People are kind of attaching him to the Blue Jays from the Mariners. Michael Saunders is being rumored to have been shopped by Seattle. Only played 78 games this year, 263 plate appearances, 8 homers, struck out 22% of the time. But he did have a 341 on-base percentage.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think he's the answer. And I mean, people want him because he's Canadian, right? Like, that's what it is for the most part is, you know, you should call because he's Canadian. And but he's a decent – well, he's a decent ball player. But,
yeah, 1.9 F4, so.
I mean, his – he had a 340 on base, right? And I think it's a career 300, so I mean that's meh. But I mean, I'd take him just to see what.
Well, from a team perspective, I mean, he is Canadian. I don't know how much that plays into the Jays decision making, but from what I've heard or read, both parties, so the Mariners and Michael Saunders, kind of want to move on.
He's probably not going to be in Seattle at the start of next year.
Yeah. Plus, his contract is pretty team friendly at $2.3 million last year. Not sure what it is this year, and he is still team controlled for 2 more years.
Yeah, so I mean, I would, not reluctantly, but I mean, like he's decent, right? And he's like 27, so he's I'd say like in his prime, like right now. I mean, like I'd take him, but I mean, like it's better than you know what we have right now, right?
Next up is Michael Dyer. He only played 49 games this year. Was injured for most of the year, but in his 205 plate appearances, 332 average, 376 on base, 579 slugging, 151 WRC plus, 414 weighted on base. Although he did have a largely inflated 351 batting average on balls in play. So
I would take him. I mean, for the most part, he's been a career like 275-ish guy, right?
Yeah, like that, even that would be fun.
Yeah, right, and like he gets on base a lot, and I think he's underrated. I think he's like 35, so if you can find a 2-3 year deal, I'd give him it.
Yeah, for sure. Next up on the from the defending American League champions, you have Nori Aoki. I personally probably wouldn't be that big of a fan of him coming here. He doesn't strike out much, but he's kind of like a Kawasaki where.
Because he's Japanese?
No. Because he's not gonna be, he's not gonna be hitting you any home runs or anything like that. His ISO was 0.75. So,
but he gets on base though.
He does get on base. He does get on base much better than Kawasaki.
He steals a bit.
If he gets on base, we could put him at second base, but second in the order where Melky used to be, or we can move Bautista up, which I think we should do anyway. But that's.
And I think he's his 4 years, he's been like a 280 hitter ish, I think, or like high 280s.
Yeah, and this year he was 285.
Yeah, so I mean,
pretty good.
Yeah, 349 on base, that's not bad. Next, Michael Morse, from the World Series champion San Francisco Giants.
That's Tristan's boy.
That's my boy.
131 games, 482 plate appearances. 16 homers, 61 RBI. However, he strikes out 25% of the time. Had hit 279 in a year whenever he had a 350 BABIP.
Okay, but how many pitcher wins does he have?
What's his FIP, though?
Yeah, what's his FIP? Yeah.
How many games does he have in the outfield, though? I mean, he's primarily a first baseman / DH, more a DH than anything.
Yeah, I would rather a guy that, you know, plays well defensively, because we have Bautista like at right field, right? And he's not really good defensively. He's just like that, like cannon arm, right? We need guys that can get to the ball.
Michael Morse last year, 84 games, 579 innings in the outfield. Year before that, 74 games, 580 innings. In 2012 with the Nationals, he had 103 games, 774 innings. Quick look at the advanced metrics. Nothing to write home about defensively in the outfield.
Yeah.
But if we put him in left.
Yeah, yeah, like again, it's not like Melky Cabrera is like a gold glove with crazy range.
And then if worst comes to worst, Gokes or Pompey play center, I mean, they can cover.
Yeah, that's what like we thought, right? But there was a stat that showed, you know, the team's outfield, it was some kind of rankings, right? And showed outfielders on teams getting to balls or something like that, right? And the Jays were bottom third.
Yeah, the outfield as a whole this year was terrible. Yeah. Rasmus was
there was no god awful. You know, like there was no range at all. And like I know that Pompey has solid range, but I don't want to have, you know, him doing it all by himself, right? And I mean, I know that Melky isn't, you know, great in the outfield other than like his arm and like those fantastic catches, but his offense makes up for it. Morse, I think like he struggled for like 2 years.
Yeah, he in 2013 he wasn't good at all.
So then are we expecting a regression after this year?
Especially after a year where he 348 batting average on balls in play. If that regresses a la Colby Rasmus this year, it would be
pretty ugly. Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, would like a 1 or 2 year deal?
Maybe. I think on the list, he's definitely not at the top of my list. I still look at Saunders and Kadire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To be the two guys I kind of...
Well, Saunders isn't a free agent, though, is he?
No.
No, we just threw him on, put him on the list. Cause
well, that'd be a trade. He's
disgruntled, we'll say that.
Yeah, like you could probably get him, like, get just a, like, mid-range prospect. Like, I don't think you'd be... You wouldn't be having an addition, like, a Sanchez
wouldn't be or like Morris. Or Kendall Graveman.
Yeah. All right, last up, we threw him on because, you know, former Blue Jay loyalty, Alex Rios.
I wouldn't be opposed to a return to Toronto. I don't know his numbers.
He's a douchebag, and solid.
He walked 4% of the time this year in 521 plate appearances. I mean, he did play for Texas. Him and JP and Sebia would just be buddies, but yeah, I'm not going to be crossing my fingers on that one.
Past, you know, like 4 or 5 years, like a mid... an OPS, the mid 700s, the past few years.
Well, defensive war down too. So,
all right. So moving on to the final segment of the show, in honor of November, which is Movember, we will be talking about some of the best and worst baseball beards. So first up on the list is good old Brian Wilson.
I love his beard, man. Like,
yeah,
I would never shave if I were him. I'd just keep growing it out.
Yeah, I'm a Mitchie on that one too.
Definitely Mitchie.
He's a personal hero of mine, so I'm a big fan of that beard. Does it with black shoe polish, so that's even better.
Wait, really?
Yep.
That's gross.
Yeah. I know it is. And then when he had it in like the ponytail beard, it was so impressive. I'm so jealous. It might just be that I'm incredibly jealous of his facial hair.
Oh, yeah, because you don't have a beard, do you? It's just...
I can't. I have tried for 18 years, and I have failed.
So it sounds like Michier's all around on that one.
Yep, that's a very beautiful beard.
Right. Next up, we're paying tribute to our fallen Blue Jay, Adam Lind.
Whoa. Adam Lind, if you're listening, I will refer to it as a goatee as you like. It is not a beard. It is a goatee.
Okay, so we have the beard police on our panel.
So I guess Trenton's a Michier.
I'm a Michier.
Oh, okay.
I'm just letting you guys know that it is a goatee, not a beard.
That beard is borderline offensive. I mean, unless you're a biker in some kind of gang, you shouldn't have one of those because, yeah, that looks gross.
Yeah, I'm a Michney on account of him probably violating some trademark from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
Supposedly his wife hates it too.
That's probably why, like, he still grows it out, just to, you know, like, as a protest.
So next up on the list is David Chamberlain. And I'm going to give him a Michier, actually, because I think it goes to show you what happens once guys leave the New York Yankees organization. They just... Like, something's not right in their head.
So. Yeah, but look at that. Like, it's just gross. Like, that's what I would look like if I didn't shave for, like, a year.
Don't the Yankees have a no-beard policy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happens. See? Like, the New York Yankees...
And now.
slowly corrupt your mind, and now Jonathan Chamberlain has a Skrull Sanctuary on his face.
But he had a mustache for like a week when he played for the Yankees, and then he just shaved it off.
When he's not wearing a hat, you know what it looks like? You know those like if like you put like a Canada Goose hood on, and you like wrapped it around your head.
And then you add an Alan from Hangover.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Zach Galifianakis is Jabba Chamberlain. Mike Napoli next on the list.
Mike Napoli is the typical beard. Just that, like, that's what everybody should want their beards to look like.
Don't forget, we could have had that beard.
I don't want to talk about that.
I'm a Mitch Ney because fuck the Red Sox.
I'm Mitch Yay because that is a very majestic beard.
I'm with Richard. Mitch Ney. Hate Boston. If you ever say Boston strong out loud, don't come near me.
I still love his beard.
Next up, Johnny Gomes. So that means I'm also Mitch Ney.
Yeah, Mitch Ney. Actually, you know what? Mitch Ney for the beard, and also Johnny Gomes. Mitch Ney for your terrible, terrible batting stance. How many times do you need to touch your hat, man? Seriously.
I think you just struck a chord with Tristan. Just the name just brought back a ton of bad memories.
You know, he's flexing his brim for like 5 minutes, man. I can't deal with it.
I'm a Mitch Ney for Johnny Gomes because his beard just looks weird. Like, I think he's trying too hard to be Napoli.
And I think like Harold Reynolds.
Yeah.
I think he said during the playoffs, he said, Johnny Gomes finds his way into winning teams. He said that when he got traded to Oakland, and then Oakland lost. So Harold Reynolds is wrong.
Jason Worth.
Great beard.
Yeah,
yay.
Mitch yay for going with the Jesus look.
That looks like a 1980s, I mean 1880s beard, what he has.
I'll give our valued listeners some homework. Google Jason Worth whenever he was with the Baltimore Orioles.
Oh, that.
The results will surprise you.
I don't think I've seen that.
That's a great picture.
The results will surprise you. Next up is Jason Mott. And,
yeah.
It's
a beard, I guess.
Yeah, it's a beard, all right.
I mean, like, what it looked like this year was just weird.
Yeah, it's...
What the heck?
Like, with, like, the waves and stuff?
Yeah, I'm going to give him a Mitch Ney for that one.
Yeah, that's offensive.
I'm not a fan. Not a fan on that one.
Can I add in one?
Yeah, sure.
I will add in Johnny Damon on the Red Sox with the beard and the long hair. That's what I try to look like.
Yeah.
When I had my long hair.
I actually see the resemblance now, Richard.
That's a huge compliment. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's definitely a Mitch Ney for me.
Yeah. I'll give him a Mitch Ney. He doesn't play for the
Red Sox. Yeah, I see it, actually. Oh, absolutely, Richard.
Thank you.
All right.
Last.
But definitely not least is Matt Shoemaker, who is in Japan right now, hanging out with Eric Kratz in a hotel room.
Is his wife there?
Oh, my God.
His beard is so dark.
He looks like Billy Mays with his hat on.
I'm a Mitch Yeh. But also because his wife is awesome, because he was pitching a no-hitter or a perfect game or something.
Oh, and Middlebrooks?
Yeah, and then Middlebrooks got a hit. And then his wife was like, screw you, Middlebrooks. And I was so happy.
Funny, man. That's hilarious.
All right. I'm going to give Matt Shoemaker a Mitchie for this one. All right. So that's going to do it for us today on the show. You can find our first two episodes in their full entirety and glory, www.e5podcast.podomatic.com. Follow us on Twitter at E5 Podcast, and follow Richard at RLeeSam, Tristan at Shift Eve, and the absent Tony at Antonio Dubai, and Kyle at Pumachopoulos. So for those four and myself, we'll see you next time.